My name is Andrei Nikolidis, and I'm a writer from Montenegro, although you would probably don't think of me about that, or think of my origin as Montenegrin, which basically is not. I'm born in Sarajevo, and obviously my family is somewhere from Greece, and they a long time ago they moved for some, I guess, good reasons from Greece to today's Montenegro. After that, my father went to Sarajevo, met my mother there, and the rest is history, as they usually say.
You know, maybe a few decades ago, two decades ago, I would have introduced you as a writer from Yugoslavia. Do you ever? I mean, we're talking about Yugoslavia now because it is 20 years since the signing of the Dayton Agreement, mm-hmm. and the end of the Yugoslav War. At least there was a signed peace accord. A lot of the ethnic tensions and so on continued, and still do continue. But do you still see yourself as Yugoslav now, or is that past really dead and gone for you?
No, but actually, I insist on my Yugoslav identity. There is a guy, a very very intelligent, very good literary critic in Zagreb. His name is Boris Posnikov. He made that term post-Yugoslav literature for my generation. In his opinion, I am one of the post-Yugoslav writers whose identity is more Yugoslav than anything else. No matter that Yugoslavia as a country is no longer present on any of the maps of this world.
You come now from the language that you speak and you write in is Montenegrin. It's a very small country. Do you nevertheless understand all the other countries, all the other languages?
It is, of course, it is the same language with four different names. Don't let anyone fool you. Croatian, Serbian, Bosnian and Montenegrin is absolutely the same language, and it was a political decision to give it four names. It is okay if you ask me, because the fact is that those were separate nations and separate states now, but in imaginable future that language can have a completely different name. It is not hard to imagine.
And language is such a big issue when we talk about not just about literature and all the journalism you do. I mean, you're a polemicist, you're an essayist, you're a columnist, you're a TV presenter, a commentator. What else are you? What else? What else? What else?
Whatever they pay me to be,
I'm that. But language is such a key issue in this post-Yugoslav era. Which language you speak? What language you write in, and so on, and what language you speak with your fellow former Yugoslavs as well.
Yeah, I can tell you that my personal tragedy is connected with the language I don't speak, and it is Greek, because the knowledge of that language is lost in my family, because my father was too young when my grandfather died, so he didn't pass it to him, and I today don't speak or read or anything in Greek. I am a lazy person, as the other people in Montenegro are. Of course, I was more than welcome to sit down and learn that the Greek language, but I had no intention to do so. So I stick to this, let's say, post-Yugoslav language and English. And that's it. That's work well enough for me.
You call yourself a lazy Montenegrin. You're very hard on your fellow Montenegrins in your books. You criticise them a lot in a very funny and humorous way. You obviously love them enormously. This book, the third book that's been published, translated into English by Will Firth, absolutely wonderful book. I've helped you launch the other two books, so The Sun and The Coming. In each of them, and in this one too, Till Kingdom Come, it's all about families and traumas and so on too, very much connected with the former Yugoslavia and Udzini, which is where you come from, in Montenegro. But it's always universal. There's philosophy, there's politics, current affairs, cultural affairs, everything's going on in your books. And they're so thin, they're so small. How do you do it?
Because my ideal of a novel is nothing like Finnegan's Wake or Tolstoy's work. My ideal of a novel is, if we can imagine it, some kind of Borgesian novel. If Borges was...
As I'm afraid that in English we would say Borges.
Borges, okay.
We're terrible, yes, but course. Borges, no, of course.
Borges, okay. Borgesian novel. If Borges was writing novels, I imagining that it would be like Till Kingdom Come, with lots of references, lots of hidden meanings and books involved in whole thing, lots of hidden knowledge, etc., etc. Whatever makes Borges' world so appealing as it is, and that's it. It's more about what will you cut off than what will
you
add?
Leave out?
What will you leave out? That's the idea.
So they are very... Do you write very long novels and then cut them back to the bone?
Actually, no. My process of working is completely different. I contemplate a lot about text.
So you think about it a lot.
Yes, the process lasts for, let's say, 3 or 4 years. And in a moment when it becomes really hard for me to even think about it, when whole thing is in the head, completely imagined, completely set up, and then I start to work, and I work very fast. My first novel, Mimesis, I wrote for only 3 weeks. The Sun was written in 3 weeks. And it took me a lot of time in my own standards. It took me 5 months to do Till Kingdom Come.
Now, how do you feel about this novel? This novel is, and I've read, this is the third one I've read of yours in English. It's incredibly ambitious novel. I mean, you are a great philosopher and a great political polemicist, and I love that about you. And your writing is really beautiful. I mean, the opening of this novel, when you're writing about the floods, I know that people say this, but it's biblical. It's grand, it's melodramatic, and magnificent writing. Were you aiming to do something different with this, or is this part of the trilogy?
It is a last part of the trilogy.
And it has been published as a trilogy.
Not yet, but I think that Istros Books have intention to put it as a trilogy. The name of the trilogy is The Dark Generation, and the parts of the trilogy are in this order: The Sun, The Coming, and Till Kingdom Come. I think that when we put all those three novels in that specific context, they will work a little bit different than they work separately. But they were written separately, and I thought that it was a good idea first to publish them as a completely separate novels, and then to see how the whole thing will function in as a trilogy.
The story of this novel there are similar relationships in the other novels, but basically you've got this journalist, he's apathetic, he's a great drinker, he always goes drink, he's lots of alcohol consumed, he has no desires in life, and he's constantly thinking about the apocalypse, about the end. Mm-hmm. How did you come across him? Because he's the opposite of you.
Yes, it was a concept from the very beginning. The Sun was, all three novels are family stories, basically, in its core.
And they've all got difficult relationships with their
parents.
Yes,
very difficult. Yes, of course. And main characters are the abandoned ones. In the first novel, The Sun, we are talking about a son and a missing father. In the second one, The Coming, we are talking about a father and a missing son relationship. And in the third novel, the mother is one who's missing. So that lack of love is common for all three narrators of all three novels. And if the Dark Generation trilogy is telling about something, it tells about people in search for love, in tragically unsuccessful search for love.
I mean, the other aspect of this novel is the mental breakdown of. I think he might be called David. You don't really.
Yes, so, he doesn't even know what his real name is.
He doesn't know what his real name is. At one point, I think you call him David. But he has initially has a Jewish name,
mm-hmm.
And then he finds that his origins are dark, cloudy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you know he has a kind of mental breakdown. He has these temporal spatial lapses. And it's very disturbing because he travels across different time zones and goes to different countries. He comes here to Conway Hall and so on to, in his mind. And then there's also the occult, the dark arts as well. Are you particularly interested in what the mind can do and what the potential of human beings is? I mean, what's driving this particular force?
Yes, I am. It's a thing I didn't search deep enough in Till Kingdom Come, and it is something that I intend to search in my next works.
You mean research? And search, it's good.
Research. I just realized that each time I came to UK, my English is even worse than the last time. So if you believe in human progress, look at me and think again. speaking about English, it is. I hope that it's in the same time funny and dark. Narrative.
It's very funny.
It's funny and dark very narrative. And that kind of, let's say, dark black humor is something I really appreciate at other authors' work. And I try to not really copy it, but to apply it on my work. I don't know. In the coming there was a talk about the apocalypse. Till Kingdom Come starts with some kind of apocalypse,
through the floods
and
the
it turns out turns into something really different, something occult. But you know, you can't really tell. The whole idea of the narrator, let's call him David, is that he's completely unreliable. So every single thing he tells, you should take with a grain of salt. And that ambivalence, if that is the word,
ambivalence
is the core of the novel.
You also go, I mean, if you talk about mental breakup, you also go into the breakup of Yugoslavia as well in this. You talk about war crimes again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you get really dark, deep down. Is this something you have, because of where you come from, is this something that you have worked through yourself? Do you know people who've been through the war and your family, of course, you said, came, and originally your father came from Sarajevo?
I wrote a lot about war crimes and war criminals. Let's just name the most famous one of them, Radovan Karadzic. And a few members of my family were victims of war crimes in this war and even in World War II. So I know a thing or two about that, and it is logical, quite logical, for it to be a subject of my interest.
Is it something you're angry about or just
interested in? No, I'm sad about it. Sad about it, and I would really love to teach my newborn daughter to leave former Yugoslavia and to go and live somewhere else, because I am more than convinced that the whole story about war crimes and civil wars in former Yugoslavia is not over. Not over by any means. It will all happen again. That's what I think.
Do you think that here, you're sitting in England, UK now, we have big problems with Europe, with our membership of the European Union. Do you think that we have perhaps forgotten Yugoslavia, forgotten what happened there, forgotten about the war.
Maybe, but why not? Because Yugoslavs have forgotten Yugoslavia, and that's our major problem, you know. That was a respectable, a decent country. We did everything we could to dissolve it. After that, we ended up in a silly, funny, a small states, like cartoon states, let's say it. And now we don't know what else to do than to join the European Union. And in the meantime, the same European Union doesn't know what to do with itself. So that's our perspective. So my fear is that when that idea that everything will be okay as soon as we become part of the European Union turns itself into another wrong projection of our own future, that we will turn again to the thing we do best, to kill each other.
I'm not going to end this interview on a sad note, but I want to ask you about the fact that you're translated into English, and what that means to you. I mean, this is your third novel in English. Your translator has been Will Firth for all three novels. Until Kingdom Come is the third. What does it mean to you to be translated into English?
I am very thankful to Will Firth, because he picked me up. He chooses to translate me, and he stick with me for all three novels. I can tell you that in a moment when my first novel was translated to English, it was a far more than I could even imagine living in Ulcinj in Montenegro. So even that was a top of my wildest dreams, to be quite honest.
Well, look, I mean, it's always great to see you, Andrej, and I really, really hope that one day these amazing books will be the top of the bestseller list. They ought to be.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andrej Nikolidis, for talking to me about Till Kingdom Come.